There's a better place to get your podcast. GCNlive.com. Hundreds of thousands of hours. Archived for your listening pleasure. All free at GCNlive.com.
America's Auto Enthusiast Program. This is Auto World. And now, here's your host, Bob Long.
Welcome, everybody. Thank you very much for joining me here for another hour of Auto World. In this hour of the broadcast, we're going to be joined by Stephen Cole Smith, automotive journalist extraordinaire. He's going to be telling us about the results of the Rolex 24 Hours of Daytona and a bunch of other things. Stephen is going to become a regular contributor here in 2015 on this show. He's always been one of our favorite guests, and we're hoping for 2015 we can get him on a much more regular basis. Also coming up in this hour of the broadcast, we're going to be joined by Don Jones, the old car guy himself. He's put together a list here of 9 not-so-great cars, so get ready to be insulted if you're an owner of one of these cars, but we're going to have lots of fun with this a little later on. Telephone-wise, you can get a hold of us at the usual number. It's 855-660-4261 or via the email bob@bob.longradio.com. bob@autoworldradio.com. Spent a lot of time at the Mecum Kissimmee auction a few days this week, and in between a trip to California to drive the new Jeep Renegade. But I just thought I'd throw out a trivia question here from all my time looking at some of the classic vehicles over there at the Mecum auction, which is wrapped up now for 2015. But we'll make it a pretty easy one here. The Corvette was offered in a very special guise for 1982. And then in 1984, we saw the introduction of the C4 Corvette. What about 1983? Was there ever a 1983 Corvette production-wise? That's the question. 855-660-4261, 855-660-4261. Let's go to one of our favorite guys in the entire automotive world, esteemed automotive journalist, broadcaster, and one of the nicest guys in the business. It's my pleasure to welcome Stephen Cole Smith back to Auto World. Steve, how you doing?
It has been way too long, Bob. We need to do this more often, man.
Absolutely. Matter of fact, I you know, kind of took it upon myself to make a resolve for 2015. We're going to make you a regular contributor and get you on because we all enjoy your presence on the airwaves, and nobody more than myself. I logged on to NASCAR.com to find out who won the Rolex 24 Hours at Daytona, and guess what? You wrote the article not that long ago, written by Stephen Cole Smith. It sounds like it was an eventful Rolex 24. Tell us about some of the highlights.
It was indeed, Bob. Tear down the Ferris wheel over here. The race was over at 2:10 Eastern time, so that was quite a while ago. So the fact that there's still quite a few people here shows just what a big event this is to put on, and then we forget about disassembling these events when we get away from them. Here in the journalist capacity to see some of the sausage being made as they start packing this stuff up. But you're right, Bob. It was a very fast race. We covered 740 laps. I think last year was 690. A lot more cautions last year. There were cautions this year. But it's amazing, Bob, to talk to some of the older guys like Hurley Haywood that have been doing this race for a long time. Hurley was here advising the most Porsche, which as a team, the Academy driver this part of, and then actually finished third in class. So Dr. McDreamy actually podiumed for the 24 Hours, which is kind of neat. But to talk to guys like Hurley Haywood, this race was an intense race in the sense that they would qualify fast, 24 laps to or so, they would pace themselves. They don't do that anymore, Bob. These guys are running a qualifying lap every lap, and that means a lot of cars break, a lot of cars crash, but the few that don't are the ones that win. The guys that don't have anything go wrong, like this year's winner, Ganassi car with Scott Dixon, Tony Kanaan, Kyle Larson, and Jimmy McMurray, they started out like rabbits. I figured they were the hare. The team car, which actually runs points all year, you know, with Scott Pruitt, still have a little bit slower pace, so I figured they would pass somewhere, that the O2 car, you know, would probably fail and are going to persevere. Scott Dixon drove the last 3.5 hours absolutely never wrong, and that car was pretty much unbeatable for the whole race.
Absolutely amazing story, and powered by the Ford EcoBoost engine, which ties right into the introduction at the Detroit Auto Show of the reincarnated Ford GT in new century style with a 3.5-liter EcoBoost V6 engine, more than 600 horsepower. So Ford is running this engine very seriously in competition. No wonder they want to put it amidship in that upcoming Ford GT supercar.
Absolutely, Bob. It's, you know, it gets good mileage. That was one of the reasons that that car won, because over the next three cars, Corvette Daytona prototypes, they think that the Ford EcoBoost had just a little bit better gas mileage and didn't have to worry quite as much about pit stops as the V8 car did. That Ford GT, I don't know what Lee out at Detroit. I like the last Ford GT. I love this car, and it will be on track. Ford has been very coy about racing it, but as you and I both know, next year is a 60th number.
Of the big finish, yes. Back in Le Mans more than 50 years ago when the GT40s finished 1, 2, 3, we're having a little cell problem with Steve, but we'll get that corrected. And I agree with Steve, absolutely stellar-looking vehicle, this new Ford GT. Love the previous one, penned by good friend Carmelo Pardo. He did kind of more of a retro one that took the cues of the original GT40 and kind of kept the same proportions, even though it was significantly larger. But this new Ford GT, which is going to be carbon fiber, powered by this 3.5-liter V6 EcoBoost engine, paddle shifters. I remember for many years and talking to some of the Ford high-performance people, they said, oh, we're never doing paddle shifters. We're never doing them. And yes, indeed, we've got paddle shifters in this upcoming Ford GT. So I'm really psyched about that vehicle. Certainly the star of the Detroit Auto Show. Can't wait to see it on the racetrack.
Yeah, and it will be. Like I mentioned, Ford is being coy about it, but apparently the Ganassi team will fuel that car in 2016. And we asked Chip Ganassi about it today, and he again said, I've got no comment, I've got no plans, but I talked to the supplier, and they said it's a deal that this car will race in 2016. And man, like you, I cannot wait to see it on the road and on the racetrack. It's a gorgeous piece.
It sure is, and for those fortunate enough to be in the category of perhaps getting one of the production street ones, I'm hearing perhaps very limited production, unlike the last Ford GT, which several thousand were built. This one, I've heard as low as 200 to 300 being built, and I've heard prices from the high twos to 400, so it's going to be a pricey piece, and it's going to be a bit of a sword fight, I think, as to who's going to get them, too. I imagine a lot of some of those well-heeled Ford GT owners who will want the new one as well. It's going to be interesting to see how they shake it down as to who gets first dibs.
Yeah, you mentioned the Mecum auction. I was over there a few years ago, did a story on it. And anytime people like you and I who've been doing this for a while go to an auction, we always think, well, and it would not surprise me to see some of these Ford GTs. They have to build a certain number to homologate the car to be able to race it. But I just wish that I would hit the lottery, and that's a car that definitely would be on the list.
You're right. I know. We gotta strategize on this. We both have to hit the lottery or we gotta split it because there's just way too many new cars and classic cars, plus that TV show that we gotta get together. So we'll confer during the break. Straight ahead, more with Steve Smith. This is Auto World. Don't go away.
Headlines, suspensions, FCC investigations. That's Man Cow for you. Hear him here. GCN.
Is your car more than 5 years old? Has your manufacturer or dealership warranty expired? Every mile you drive, your car is getting closer to needing costly repairs. How will you pay the hundreds, even thousands of dollars needed to get your car back on the road when the inevitable happens? Call the Auto Protection Hotline now. You will speak to a friendly representative that will guide you through setting up a zero-fee coverage plan that is tailored to your needs. There's no obligation. Call 888-833-9257 and put your warranty worries behind you.
Haynes, the worldwide leader in vehicle repair information for over 50 years, is now available in an electronic format. With Haynes Manuals Online, you get all the trusted content of a Haynes printed manual, but with added features including over 750 color photographs, color wiring diagrams, and videos to help you do the job right. They're formatted for all electronic devices with over 180 titles to choose from. Every Haynes Manual Online is written based on a complete teardown and rebuild of the vehicle. Be sure to check out Haynes.com.
Friends, this is Alex Jones for MidasResources.com. For more than 15 years, I have exclusively used Midas Resources for all my precious metal needs. Whether it's bullion or collectibles you're looking for, Midas Resources is simply the best. I own my gold as a hedge against inflation. This Federal Reserve fiat currency could go the way of the Deutschmark and the Weimar Republic anytime. In these historically dangerous times, it makes sense to physically hold gold and silver. Midas already has some of the best deals in the industry. But if you give them a call and mention the radio special, they will give you a list of the day's super specials. Midas brokers are standing by to answer all your questions at 800-686-2237. They also have a lot of informative free literature explaining the opportunities and risk of holding precious metals. They are ready to answer your questions at 800-686-2237. Again, that's 800-686-2237.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number. 1-855-905-MY-TV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. Say goodbye to the cable guy. And get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-855-905-MY-TV. Sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99 and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional installation. You control what you watch when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels too. At just $19.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV. Say goodbye to the cable guy. Cut costs and get more. 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV.
On Facebook, on the news, and in conversations with friends, we're bombarded every day with advice on how to be healthier, from gluten-free and non-GMO diets to how much exercise and sleep the body needs. But how much have you heard about alkalizing the body? AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops are a holistic and natural way to get your body's pH levels back in balance. Just a few drops in water will help your body rid itself of harmful waste, and even the healthiest of diets can be complemented with your daily use of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops. Who isn't looking for more vibrance, vigor, and energy? Now buy two bottles of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops and get $10 off your order. Visit AlkaVision.com or call 800-518-7615. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops are packed with a powerful combination of the most alkaline minerals and compounds. Open the door to greater health, vitality, and zest for life. Alkalize your body. Supercharge your health. Call 800-518-7615 or head to AlkaVision.com.
Broadcasting from the middle of Corvette Boulevard and Stingray Avenue, this is Auto World with your host, Bob Long.
Welcome back, everybody. We're live all across North America on great radio stations around the world via the internet, GCNlive.com, AutomotiveRadioNetwork.com. If you log on to NASCAR.com and read the story about the 24 hours of Daytona, the Rolex 24 Hours. Stephen Cole Smith did the article, and he joins us live here on the broadcast. And we've been talking about the big win by the Ganassis. And speaking of Corvettes, they came in second. Oh, they were the defending champions. I know a lot of the Corvette executives, Mark Rouse and folks, were really touting this as being the real coming out of the C7 Corvette. What happened? Was it the gas mileage that bit them in the end, as you alluded to earlier?
No, they actually won, Bob. They're in a different class. The prototype class is one we're talking about, the one where the Corvettes are basically just name only. You know, they're mid-engine cars where just the front and the rear look a little bit like a Corvette. But the GT Le Mans class, which is so named because these are cars that actually will race at the 24 Hours of Le Mans, those Corvettes did pretty darn good.
Good.
They actually finished fifth overall with Jan Magnussen and Tony Garcia and Ryan Briscoe, won the class, and I'll tell you, that's probably more important to Chevrolet than the overall win with the prototype, because these are cars that are built, as you mentioned, on the Z06, on the C7 car. So I imagine Chevrolet a little bit bummed out they didn't get the overall win. They got second, third, fourth, which isn't bad overall, but fifth is actually a production-based Corvette, so a pretty good day for Chevrolet.
Absolutely. Speaking of the Z06, I know a handful of journalists got a chance to sample them out in Nevada, and there have been some other stealth drives around the country. How about yourself? Have you got behind the wheel of that, as Mark Royce calls it, the big nasty, the Z06?
I have not, Bob. I was at Petit Le Mans in Road Atlanta late last year, and if I'd stayed one more day, I could have been there for one of those Z06 secret drives, but I wasn't invited. They said you can stay and watch, but you can't drive it. It was just for, I think, the top three or four magazines. But the guys who have driven that car that I know, as you have,
yeah,
are raving about it. I mean, we love the regular Corvette, and they're saying, you know, if you like that one, you're going to love this one. I can't imagine what the ZR1 is going to be like when it finally comes out, because, as you know, the Z06 has never been the absolute top Corvette. There's always one above it, and this thing is such a monster that, but to give you an idea, if you happen to have a Z06, you could drive it here to Daytona, and you'll have about 150 more horsepower than the race cars do, because they have to dial them back in order to make them run with all the other competitors.
Amazing. 650 horsepower, 600 pound-feet right from the factory, 7-speed rev-matching manual or 8-speed automatic. And I hear the 8-speed automatic on the Z06 will actually run sub-3-second 0-60 runs. And again, this is a car that you could drive every day, very docile with its magnetic ride control. Boy, can't wait to get behind the wheel of that one, Steve. That's going to be a real treat.
Well, it's amazing, Bob. I did drive the Ferrari 458 Italia Speciale for a story for Auto Week a couple of months ago, and that is an absolute supercar. But it's as docile as a kitten if you want to drive it around town. The transmission works wonderfully. It's comfortable once you get in it. It's very comfortable. I don't really want people to watch me clamber in it. I'll ask you to avert your eyes, because when I put my fat butt in that thing, it doesn't go in easily. But once I'm in there, I'm pretty happy about it. Cars like that used to be so sensitive. You might drive them on a Sunday afternoon before they overheat or before they run out of gas. But now, like you said, they're daily drivers.
Yeah, absolutely amazing times that we live in, and certainly a great time to be an automotive journalist covering both the new car side of the fence as well as the motorsports side of the fence, which brings me to one of the, you of course contribute to Auto Week and to Car and Driver and to umpteen different other publications and newspapers, the Tribune Group, but I know day to day you've got a hot website that you're in charge of. Tell all of our listeners around North America and around the world about this wonderful website.
Yeah, it's motorsport.com. It's been around since the 1980s. I've been there for less than a year now. It covers all motorsports, and by motorsports, I'm talking anything that happens around the world. There's Australian touring car news on there. There's British touring cars. There's rally. We did a lot of stuff on the car. I think we had six people here at Daytona. We have some of the best NASCAR riders that you're going to find. Motorsport.com there are some very good websites out there, but most of them specialize. Like you mentioned, NASCAR.com has great NASCAR stuff, but there's not going to be much on there about IndyCar because that's not what they cover. We are pretty much a one-stop shop for anything racing-related. So if you haven't visited Motorsport.com, I think people who are not familiar with it will be impressed.
Absolutely. It's a wonderful site. Let's talk a little bit more about what it's like to not only run at a 24-hour race like the Rolex 24 at Daytona, but also to attend a race like this. Here I am now living in Florida. I've got to get my butt over there next year and be at this race. What is it like being at this race in the middle of the night? Is it real fun?
It really is, Bob. I the first few races I covered over here, I stayed here the entire 24 hours. But last night I left at 3. I had a two-hour drive home. I slept for 4 hours and then came back 2 hours. So I don't know if my cumulative rest time was very good. But just getting away from here, unless you've got a motorhome or a place nearby, seems to help. The 12 hours of Sebring almost is more tiring than the 24 hours of Daytona because the 12 hours of Sebring, you're up all the time because things are happening every second. Things can happen here in 12-hour market. You've still got 12 hours to fix your car or other things to happen. I find it surprisingly relaxing to be around here, especially in the middle of the night, because there's still so much stuff going on. There's partying in the infield. There's you can walk up in the pit lane and you see one crew that's working feverishly and another crew that's rolled up in blankets trying to sleep. It's a surreal place to be in the middle of the night here. And if you haven't been here, it is a bucket list. You need to come to the 24 hours of Daytona.
Absolutely. And I remember, Steve, you writing just a really cool story for Motor Trend a number of years back about the 24 hours of Le Mans and what that's like to attend as an enthusiast and another thing to put on the bucket list. That just sounded like a real hoot, to say the least.
Well, one thing about Daytona I love, and especially if you haven't been here lately, the construction, the Daytona Rising Project, is amazing. But a lot of people complain at road courses, if they're a NASCAR fan, that you can only see part of it. Well, this is a 3.56-mile road course, and if you get up into the stands, and you can pretty well sit anywhere you want, with a pair of binoculars, you can see everything. You can see everything on the track. It's one of very few road courses that has a full sight. The entire track is lit at night. You can see things, on the far end that normally you'd have to watch for a TV replay to see. Of course, there's too much to watch at one time, but I love being up on top and standing over my Nikon binoculars and being able to see the race as opposed to just being stuck in the media center watching it on TV.
Absolutely. We'll take a pit stop and then more with Steve Smith as we talk racing and lots more. Don Jones will be up in this hour as well.
We are the premier independent talk radio network, the Genesis Communications Network, GCN.
Have other tax companies told you that you make too much money or have too many assets to qualify for an IRS tax settlement? You need to find out about the Wall & Associates difference.
My company is doing okay, but I messed up on the payroll taxes. Other tax firms told me I have to go on a payment plan, maybe for years. I didn't want that.
I was so worried about my husband's business that it was hard to sleep. I'm so glad we called Wall & Associates. They were able to settle our IRS tax debt for a fraction of what we owed, and his business is still thriving. When everyone else said no way, Wall & Associates said yes.
To find out how to get the best settlement for large business or personal tax debts, call Wall & Associates at 1-800-533-8101. To put a wall between you and the IRS, 1-800-533-8101. We solve tax problems. Call Wall & Associates at 1-800-533-8101. Based on actual cases, results may vary, not a solicitation for legal services.
What good is a big Berkey water filter? We get that question a lot here at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. And in a word, the answer is protection. Protection from water main breaks, E. coli contamination, environmental chemical spills, pesticide runoff, chlorine taste and smell, and all forms of fluoride. Plus, Big Berkey Water Filters are the original gravity water filter system and most trusted on the market for a reason. Tested by multiple independent NSF EPA certified labs, they are the gold standard in water purification. At only 1.7 cents a gallon, a single set of filters can last for 5 to 10 years. That means big savings. Big Berkey, the one that's powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. Get a Big Berkey today at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. GCN listeners receive 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Visit our website or call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey Water Filters, for the love of clean water.
I'm Kay Swirling from KSCO Radio in Santa Cruz. I'm 93 years old, and I'm a big fan of Alex Jones because he has the courage to speak his mind more than just about anyone I know. Alex is just as bothered as I am about all the advertising you hear for toxic prescription drugs that make you sicker, not healthy. I prefer to give my body all 90 essential nutrients it needs for life to prevent disease, not compound it. My favorite complete supplement is Beyond Tangy Tangerine from Youngevity, which I take every day along with EFA Plus and Beyond Osteo FX. I recommend you go online to InfoWarsTeam.com to purchase these products and make them part of your daily regimen to get healthy and live longer. InfoWarsTeam.com.
Hey, guess what? They've got some great deals for Valentine's Day at Guns80.com. They're calling it the Sweetheart Special. Guns80.com has lowered the price way down to $400 up until Valentine's Day. Order your Ghost AR-15 now. Tell your sweetheart that this is the right gift at the right time. Buy one for yourself. Buy one for your sweetheart, too. Your sweetheart will thank you for being so tuned into his or her needs. Get a brand new Ghost AR-15 right now for $400. Heck, buy two. His and hers. Go to Guns80.com or call and ask for the sweetheart deal. Love is in the air at Guns80.com. Call now, 844-2-GUNS-80. That's 844-248-6780. It's a sweetheart of a deal. Actually, it's a steal at $400. So call Guns80.com at 844-2-GUNS-80. But hurry, supplies are limited. Call 844-2-GUNS-80 or get your Ghost AR-15 today at Guns80.com on the web.
And now, back to the show with the highest octane, Auto World, and your host, Bob Long.
Esteemed automotive journalist Stephen Cole Smith is with us. You can read Steve's work all over the place. Auto Week, of course, he's editorial director for Motorsports.com. He's wrapping up the Rolex 24 Hours of Daytona for us. And it sounds like it's just an amazing event. And something, as Steve said, that everybody should put on their bucket list at least once in their life. Check out a great event like this Rolex 24 Hours. Tell us a little bit more about that construction that's been going on at Daytona. Our good mutual friend Bill Warner has been telling me about it, and I haven't seen it myself, but this is a huge investment and a huge project. Steve, are you with us? Did we lose Steve? We may have lost Steve. We shall see. Our telephone number is 855-660-4261, 855-660-4261. Got an answer to the trivia question here. Gentleman from Missouri has got it right, and the gentleman's name is Barry. Barry from Missouri, that's right, 1983, we did not see any production Corvettes. It leaped from the C3 in 1982, the collector's edition, to the all-new one for 1984, the C4. Let's throw out another trivia question after we talk a little bit more with Steve. Steve, I was saying that the construction, I haven't seen myself at Daytona, but our mutual friend Bill Warner, chairman of Amelia Island, has been telling me about the huge investment that has been put into this project. Tell our listeners a little bit about this new Daytona, which is shaping up.
Yeah, they call it Daytona Rising, Bob. If you can envision Daytona, you know, I've got the huge suites and grandstands on the front stretch, and on the back stretch there's something like 50,000 stands. So those stands in the back stretch are going to go away. Not right now. They'll be here for the July race of the NASCAR race, the 400. But then after that, they'll go away, and at the Daytona 500, actually at the Rolex 24 next year, that will really be the debut, where you've got 100,000 stands on the main side that are all new seats. You've got escalators, you've got elevators. They actually had an escalator race here the other day between Richard Childress and his grandson, Austin Dillon, where Austin ran up the steps and Richard was able to go up the escalator and actually beat Austin. One reason being Austin had his wisdom teeth out that morning and really wasn't feeling much like running right then. But I'll tell you, it's an astounding project, and it really ups the ante. This is NASCAR saying we want to be able to compete with the Disney, with the Universals, with some of the big events down here in Florida, the big venues. They're putting their money where their mouth is. There's going to be theaters. There's going to be shopping places across the street. Within 5 years, you will not recognize this place, and that's a compliment because the work I've seen already and the plans I've seen, just amazing. And also where Daytona USA was, they're moving the Motorsports Hall of Fame from Michigan. So guys like you and me with an interest in history will have a place to go to see some great historic stuff.
That sounds fantastic. You and I were both at the North American International Auto Show in Detroit. We touched on the Ford GT. Let me get your take on a couple of others. Ford really had a performance coming out with the Raptor, the second generation of the Raptor. Surprisingly enough, this one always shocked me. The former SVT, SVO in the 80s with the Mustang and the SVTs, which have turned out everything from Lightnings to Focus vehicles to, of course, all kinds of Mustangs. But the biggest seller of all time is the Raptor, and this new Raptor looks meaner than ever.
Boy, doesn't it? I was a huge fan of the second generation of Lightning. The first one was just kind of a really nice motor in a package that wasn't much redesigned. And it was really more of a street truck. The Raptor is a genuine off-roader, but it's still a truck you can use every day as a truck. It's got a bed. It has a good towing capacity. It's a little pricey, but you're right. You see a Raptor on the road, and it's hard to look away without looking at it closely because it has a presence that very few other pickup trucks have.
So true. Ford also following up on their L.A. debut of the upcoming GT350 Shelby Mustang for 500 horsepower out of a 5.2-liter V8 engine with a very special crankshaft, which we only see normally in exotic cars. But in the Motor City of Detroit, we saw an even higher performance, a racing variant of this. And, Steve, I could see you very happily behind the wheel of this vehicle.
Yeah, the new Mustang, since they did the redesign in 2005, has been one of my favorite cars. And this update for 2015, you know, I don't think we were really expecting the car to change as much as it did. Yeah, it's still a Mustang, but, you know, my wife, we were driving by a Ford dealership the other day, and they had one parked out front, and she said, that looks almost like a Jaguar just from the profile. It doesn't really look like a Mustang. Great car to drive. I'm on the board for the North American Car of the Year, and even though the Volkswagen, and I love the Volkswagen GTI and the Golf, I voted for the Mustang. It came in second because I thought it was just a little bit more of a special car.
Absolutely. And, of course, as you pointed out, the GTI and the Volkswagen family, which has won a whole slew of awards, the Golf, of course, you can get it in electric and diesel and the GTI and the normal one. And I can understand it's the logical choice, but the Mustang definitely is the one that I would have voted for. On the truck SUV crossover side of the fence, I was rooting for the Lincoln MKC, but there were two very strong truck nominees there. The return of the midsize trucks from GM, the Colorado, and, of course, the eventual winner, the Ford F-150, which I understand not only is a great technical achievement with its aluminum body panels, but also folks like Paul Eisenstein have told me it actually drives better with a lower center of gravity.
Yeah, I wasn't quite as impressed with the F-150 as some other people are. I liked it a lot. Of course, the aluminum body, I think, saves like 750 pounds, but it's still a pretty heavy vehicle. I thought the Colorado and the GMC Canyon were a little bit more of game changers because long ago the manufacturers and I guess the public had sort of written off anything but full-size trucks. You know, Ford dropped the Ranger, Chevy dropped the Colorado. You know, Chrysler hasn't built one since the Dakota. So, and I really liked the Colorado and the Canyon. I've had several of them. I had a four-wheel drive Canyon, and I live on a 6 acres with a lot of trees, and I needed a couple of trees that had fallen in storms move, so I just hooked a chain up to the Colorado, and I just worked the heck out of that little truck, and man, I was really impressed with it. It just feels like the right size. It'll tow what you need, but it doesn't feel ponderous, and I think that's a real step in a very smart direction for General Motors, and I'm hoping some of the other manufacturers. I know we saw a new Tacoma at the mm-hmm. Detroit show, and I can't wait to drive that.
Absolutely. Can't wait to get your take on the return of the NSX from Acura. Definitely kind of taking a page from some of the uber-expensive LaFerraris and 918s and McLaren vehicles, utilizing a V6 power plant along with electric motors, three electric motors, which I think is rather unusual. Why did they do four?
Yeah, I felt a little sorry for the NSX because it was with when the Ford GT showed up, you know, we knew it was coming, but none of us knew much about it. I think Acura pretty well figured they'd own the show with the NSX, and it's sort of like Jane Mansfield debuts, and she doesn't know that Marilyn Monroe's about to walk out on stage. So, you know, as nice as the NSX was, I think it was upstaged a little bit by the Ford GT. I don't know what the plans are for the NSX as far as racing goes. I think there definitely could be. The Acura program now is tied in with the Pirelli World Challenge. So, and Pirelli is not involved in the Tudor United Sports Car Series, you know, which of course sanctions the Rolex 24 in the Sebring race. So I don't know if we'll see the NSX in any racing here, but it's an interesting car. The last NSX, of course, didn't change that much over its long period, and it's still a great car. So I want to see what the new one's like.
Absolutely. Steve, we're going to get you back for a full hour in a couple of weeks. Thank you so much for your time here today.
We are America's largest independently owned communications network, GCN.
Please grab a pen and paper or type this into your phone, investyourself.com. For the best free financial newsletter on the planet, go to investyourself.com and sign up today. Hi, my name is Bob Renier, and for over 20 years I've been publishing investyourself.com, and I guarantee you this is the only newsletter that provides the truth, it's easy to read, and it's free. Consider this. The Feds have just ended the QE program in this country, but Japan and Europe continue to print money, and all of this affects our stock market in ways you've never seen before. I invite you to sign up at investyourself.com. Our absolutely free newsletter will help guide you through what's really affecting our markets instead of the nonsense you hear from the mainstream media. For over 20 years, people have called it the best free newsletter on the planet, and I think you'll agree. Take a moment and go over to investyourself.com and sign up today. It's absolutely free, no credit card required, no ID required. Simply pop your email address in the box. That's investyourself.com, investyourself.com.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and sling bows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Hi, this is Steve Sanchez, and based on a recent study, it was found that 57 million Americans had legal issues over the last 12 months, but only 60% of those studied sought out the services of a lawyer. Why? In a nutshell, affordability. Well, my friends at Legal Shield have created a solution that can help you not if, but when you need an attorney. For as little as $17 per month, Legal Shield will provide you unlimited access to qualified attorneys at an accomplished law firm for advice and counsel on legal issues, no matter how serious or trivial. For over 40 years and with 1.4 million families across North America, Legal Shield can help you, the loyal GCN listener. Representatives are standing by now to answer your questions, so call them now at 1-855-340-SAVE. That's 1-855-340-7283, or visit them at lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com.
Results will vary from case to case.
Hey, it's Billy F. Gibbons from ZZ Top, and you're listening right here to Auto World.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for joining us here on Auto World. It's been a very busy hour, and it will continue as we roll down a great list here put together by the old car guy himself from theoldcarguys.com, the CEO, founder, and all-around good guy, Mr. Don Jones. Don, how you doing?
I'm doing real well today, Bob. Just about picked up and loading the car up to head out to Florida tomorrow.
Wow, wonderful. You'll be down here in the sunshine, and that's great, and certainly lots of wonderful automotive happenings for you to check out here. You put together this wonderful list. We'll do our best to run it down, and if not, we'll certainly catch up with it next weekend. Topping the list here, the 1958 to 1960 Edsel. This is a list of nine not-so-great cars. You call it the greatest flop of all automotive flops.
I thought about calling this little article the nine worst cars, but when you start doing research, you find out maybe some of these cars weren't quite as bad as people thought they were. But even though they are nine cars with a less than spectacular history behind him. And, of course, probably on everybody or top of everybody's list would be the Edsel. It made it from 58 to 60. A lot of fanfare for it. It came out, even had its own TV program, a TV special that was in lieu of Ed Sullivan that night, and drew in a couple of million people watching it, and then proceeded to find its way into the drain hole and basically became laughing stock of automotive history.
Absolutely, but still collectible today. There are people out there that collect them, like number two on. Yep, just like number two on the list. Still, some people very diehard collectors of the Edsels and diehard collectors of the Corvair. You cite the 61 Corvair, and the Corvair, of course, was featured in the book by Ralph Nader, A Dangerous at Any Speed, and I believe over the years, General Motors fixed a lot of the problems with the Corvair. And
they sure did. The 1961 Corvair, though, had a tendency for the front wheels to leave the ground and turns and then the topping, small rises in the road. I had one of these back in the 60s and had that cold feeling you get up your back when you discover that you've lost control of your car for a split second. And so I've had that happen to me. And apparently they changed the anti-sway mechanism on the front and got rid of that. But they still had problems with the single-piece steering column that can impale a driver in the event of a front-end collision. But they had a heater that burned gasoline that was located in the trunk could asphyxiate the driver.
That's absolutely crazy. I was not aware of that. That's a really interesting factoid. Number three on the list here, remember this one well, 1979 Oldsmobile Cutlass Supreme Diesel. It was the second Arab oil embargo in 79. They were scrambling for answers, and GM thought they could just convert some gas engines to diesel engines, and boy, they were wrong.
They certainly were. This thing sounded like a wash machine full of marbles when it ran. They were underpowered, had a very small engine for the time, which was about a 4.2 liter, and didn't get very good gas mileage. It was underpowered, and the engine, of course, had a tendency of blowing up. So wasn't exactly a winner when it came to the warranty department over at GM.
Number four on the list here. I personally love this one because I'm not that familiar with it, but it's great. 1955 to 56 Dodge La Femme. This was an attempt from the folks at Chrysler to gain foothold in the women's automobile market using two-tone paint schemes that were targeted to women's taste, interiors, pink and white, stuff like that. They even had a matching shoulder bag with makeup, raincoats, and umbrellas. And you did even more research on this vehicle that there were some very interesting little things contained within the purse that was
right,
part
yeah.
of this vehicle.
Yes, in the purse they had the accessories, including the face powder, lipstick, cigarette case, cigarette lighter. And they were actually designed by an outfit called Evans in Chicago. So they were kind of an add-on item, but I don't think with those colors it added much to the potential for the resale value when this car went into the used car market. The good part is, though, that there are probably in the neighborhood of 2,500 of them still. Well, there were 2,500 of them made. There might be as little as 40 that are in existence still. So it adds about 25% to the collection value of the car,
sure.
particularly if it has the optional Hemi engine in it.
Absolutely. I would love to see one of these in person. I have never seen one at all the auctions that I've been to. The next vehicle on the list, my dad actually had one of these in 1975.
Bob, I got your fading today. I don't know if you can hear me or not.
Yeah, I sure can. Next on the list is the Ford Pinto. My dad actually had one of these vehicles for a short time from 75 to 77, and this had a potential design flaw that made the vehicle a potential death trap.
Can you hear me as far as you're probably talking about the Pinto, but I can't hear you.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Bob.
Yeah, the Pinto. Go right ahead with your thoughts on the Pinto.
Okay. Yeah, the Pinto, it was just basically the whole car was designed wrong, and particularly around the fuel tank area. The tank was thin-walled. There was some poorly arranged bolts. So when this car had a rear-end collision, the gas tank could rupture, and heat from the exhaust system or sparks from the impact could cause the car to blow up. They had bad press on it, a lot of lawsuits. And then the sad thing is, for about $5, they could have came up with a solution to the problems. But this was just a nightmare for Ford in those mid-70 years.
Unbelievable. Another car I remember well, 1981 Cadillac Fleetwood with some high technology, V864. This was an engine that could run on either 8, 6, or 4 cylinders, but it was just plain miserable, unlike the engines today, which flip from V8 to V4 seamlessly. This one was just a nightmare.
Right. Yeah, there's probably more technology or more computer power and a telephone that I'm talking to you on now than was available for this engine at the time. But I had bad feelings when this thing came out. I am not usually one to jump on a bandwagon when you have a vast or a great leap in automotive technology, and this is one particular time that paid off. But with the higher gas prices coming out of the 70s, Cadillac was downsizing the monster engines they had. They were about 500 cubic inches, and they downsized 72. And then by the 80s, they were downsizing again to 368 cubic inches. They put on a low-performance throttle body with fuel injection, and it brought the horsepower down to a miserable 145, and that was about the same as the 1962 Chevrolet six-cylinder was putting out. And so it just was under par. The computer system wouldn't engage properly, and the solenoid system that would lift the lift the rockers away from the push rods to prevent the valve from opening would be slowed down by the computing system, and consequently it would either starve the engine or overload the engine, making it run poorly. And then most of the folks that bought one of these things ended up taking it into the dealership to have the system deactivated.
Yeah, absolutely. Nightmare car. Next on the list, a vehicle I remember very well indeed, the 1985 to 1992 Yugo, a small car made in the former nation of Yugoslavia. Some have called this the worst car of the 20th century. I love this little line that you've got here. The Yugo had a rear window defroster reportedly to keep your hands warm while you pushed.
Yes, yeah, I think that this car would get my vote as well as far as the worst car of the 20th century. Poorly engineered, it was ugly. It was cheap. It was the cheapest car on sale at that time in America. But the car basically became the butt of many a joke and the subject of a book entitled The Yugo, The Rise and Fall of the Worst Car in History.
Next on the list, a more recent car from Pontiac. They thought they could build a vehicle that was a little bit of everything. Sedan, SUV, camper, all in one, the Pontiac Aztec. Many people believe this to be one of the worst-looking vehicles ever manufactured.
Well, I remember seeing one at a Pontiac dealership when it came out and thinking that it was not only ugly, but the positioning of a rear glass in the trunk didn't make any sense to me. But it just was an odd design. The visibility was terrible. There wasn't a back windshield wiper that made it looking out the back even worse. The interior was flimsy, right uncomfortable, and it smelled well, like a wagon full of rocks.
And last on the list, the 61 to 68 Amfidel. This was a descendant of a Nazi vehicle. It was supposed to be able to be driven on the road and in the water. We'll talk about that next time you're with us, Don. I love this list. We'll do it again on a different station. Thank you so much. Safe travels down to Florida. That's going to do it for this hour of Ottawa.
We've been patiently waiting. Waiting while you tried to ignore us. Waiting while you acted like we didn't exist. Waiting for our chance to be taken seriously. The wait is over. GCN is available 24/7 at GCNlive.com. Navigate through news from your favorite hosts and download archives of past shows. Download the app on your smartphone or tablet. Or visit GCNlive.com for instant access and live streaming. GCNlive.com. The future of talk radio. Now at your fingertips.
We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit and carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Ted Anderson, I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
If the IRS has garnished your paycheck or seized money from your bank account, you need to get professional tax help now. Fast action is required to put a halt to these aggressive IRS collection tactics. You can count on the knowledgeable team of tax professionals at Wall & Associates. With over 30 years of experience, Wall & Associates has settled the tax problems of thousands of taxpayers for a small fraction of what they owed. For a free face-to-face consultation, call 1-800-425-4610 to put a wall between you and the IRS. 1-800-425-4610 or look for us on the web at wallandassociates.net. We solve tax problems. If you hire Wall & Associates today, you'll never have to talk to the IRS again. To stop the levies and seizures today, take action now. Call Wall & Associates at 1-800-425-4610. Wall & Associates. 1-800-425-4610. Based on actual cases, results may vary, not a solicitation for legal services.